We turn in God's Word tonight to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Our text tonight is found in verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. In the week of examination before us, we are called to evaluate our heart's truest desire. I am not referring to earthly goals now that we wish to achieve in our lives. I'm not referring to the fulfillment of that dream that we want to fulfill in this present life, but we examine tonight our chiefest spiritual desire. This certainly has much to do with our earthly desires too, of course, but when we examine our hearts in this week to come to evaluate our chief desire, then it is with this mind: is fellowship with the Most High God the greatest good? Or would we rather spend our life seeking after the earthly and finding our chief delight in the things of this present world and life? The psalmist throughout this entire psalm expresses what is his chief delight. I mean, it's pretty well plain from the very outset in the psalm that we read this evening. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! Yea, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. The reason he desires to dwell in God's house is very clear. His flesh crieth out for the living God. Fellowship or communion with God is the highest good, and for that reason, it is his chief delight. This too we desire as we prepare to come to the table of the Lord next Sunday morning, the Lord willing. Yes, we examine our hearts this week in order to know our sin and to know that our salvation is found only in the cross of Jesus Christ alone. Yes, when we examine ourselves in this week to come, we will flee to the cross of Christ, where alone we receive, we understand, the full reason for pardon from sin. But there is more than that. And really, it's the reason behind the fact that Jesus Christ has taken away our sin and our shame. Christ's death on the cross is really subservient even to a greater end, and that is God's covenant. That is to say, fellowship with God. That must be the chief desire that we find now in ourselves as we again re-examine ourselves before coming to the table of the Lord. What is it? What is it, people of God, that we seek after in this life? What is it that's better than all else in this world? Christ died on the cross, you understand, in order that we might spend an eternity in the presence of God. And we desire to see His beauty and to look upon His face in glory. Well, if that's true, then our life centers around that chief desire. And that because it is becomes for you and me the highest good. As we mentioned, the psalm before us this evening draws our attention exactly to that end. Many commentators ascribe this psalm to David, that he wrote it, that is, at a time when he was absent from the tabernacle, which was in Jerusalem at that time. So most of the commentators at this point will place this particular point in David's life when he had fled from Absalom and now for a short period of time was on the opposite side of the Jordan River from the temple itself or the tabernacle in Jerusalem. He was far away from its courts and his worship there. His habit had been to worship, to enter into fellowship with God on the Sabbath day in God's house. Now he had been robbed of that privilege, and that made his soul groan within him. His soul long even fainted for the courts of the Lord. And in this, David expresses for you and me not only his inmost desire, but by means of placing his pen on paper and writing this psalm, he expresses for you and me our inmost desire. It is this desire that we want to examine also tonight in order to prepare us in this week to come to the table of the Lord properly. Notice with me, a doorkeeper in God's house. A doorkeeper in God's house. In the first place, the meaning of that. Secondly, the desire to be that doorkeeper, and then finally, the blessing. Although we may not overlook the full meaning and the deeper meaning of the Word of God before us tonight, the immediate occasion for the writing of this psalm definitely stands on the foreground. And the house of my God, or the courts of that house to which David refers, is indeed, in the first instance, the tabernacle in Jerusalem, or the temple later on. You see, the tabernacle and later the temple in the kingdom of Israel was the center of all of the worship of God's people at that time. There the men of Israel had to travel at least three times, if not more, but three times every year in order to celebrate the feast days there in the temple. There, sin offerings were offered to God, as well as peace offerings and wave offerings and all the rest. In the temple, the priests were called upon to labor in the things that pertained to Jehovah. They sacrificed, they made prayers, they made intercession for the saints of God there. But all of that centered in one great, beautiful truth that was signified there in the temple to all of God's people at that time. That's where God dwelt. That's where they would come now to fellowship with their God. He had chosen to place His name there, not just in Jerusalem, but there in that tabernacle. And when Solomon himself dedicated now the temple unto the Lord, then God came down, didn't He, in all of His glory, and He dwelt there in the Holy of Holies, on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, and He dwelt there among His people. It was the true desire, therefore, of every Old Testament believer, every child of God, to worship Jehovah in those hallowed courts there in the tabernacle or the temple. In fact, the same is really true of God's people today. The temple no longer, obviously, is our center of worship anymore today. Christ, in fact, fulfilled all of that Old Testament temple worship, bringing that to its perfect end. We don't have to go to on a pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem every year in order to worship God there. Now we can worship God in spirit and in truth wherever God establishes his church and his house in this world. But really, think about that. The idea is the same. This church building in which you and I now sit is the center of our worship as a congregation. Here we gather together as God's saints to sing to our God together, to pray together, to sit under the preaching of the gospel together. Here's the center of our worship in this building, in this house. Here too, we enter into fellowship with God. He's present in our worship by means of his Spirit. Now we realize that this is just a building, and if the Church of Jesus Christ didn't meet here in spirit and in truth to worship God, then this church would be nothing more than a building. And yet, so long as we sit here and we make this our worship place, this building is important to you and to me too. And the desire of the child of God today is really little different than David's desire was then. If we were unable to come to the house of God to worship, as someday might be the case, people of God, we too would feel a certain emptiness, wouldn't we? We too would say, as David does in verse 2 of this psalm, "The sparrow, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth." We would say that too. "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." We would say that too. Now, there is also the reference made in our text to those who labored in the courts of the temple. We well know that the Levites were appointed by God as the one tribe in Israel dedicated to the worship of the Lord. They didn't receive any inheritance in the land of Canaan. Their inheritance was the Lord. They were called upon by God to serve the temple. Well, there was a certain order of Levites whose work was to be a porter or a doorkeeper in the temple. The tabernacle, first of all, and then later on, once again, in the temple. We read of that, for example, in 1 Chronicles 9, verses 22 and 23, although the verses after that speak of it too. "All these, which were chosen to be porters," doorkeepers, "in the gates were 212. These were reckoned by their genealogy in their villages, whom David and Samuel the seer did ordain in their set office." That was their work. "So they and their children had the oversight of the gates of the house of the Lord, namely, the house of the tabernacle by wards." And then it is explained more fully in the rest of that chapter. This order of Levites were appointed to keep undesirables out of the house of God, to keep it from being profaned by Gentiles or those who were unclean. Not only were they set by the outside gates of the tabernacle and the temple, they had different wards that stood on each side of it, but they were within the tabernacle or the temple as well, and they stood by the Holy of Holies to keep anybody from wandering into the most holy place there in the tabernacle. They were placed later on before the treasuries to guard them, and the storehouses of the temple to guard the doors of them. So they had an important labor in the temple, But a labor which was perhaps of almost all the labors of the Levites, a little bit more menial of a labor, a little bit more common. Didn't seem really all that sacred of a labor that they were to perform. The reference, therefore, to the doorkeeper here in our text is one who was just inside the temple, stood just inside the temple, and whose task was, well, just a little lower or humbler in the work of the tabernacle or the temple. David is in exile now. He's far from the courts of the temple, unable to worship there, and he expresses now in the psalm before us the inmost desire of his heart. I wish, really do, I wish I could dwell right now in that temple. It really doesn't matter what place I will have in that temple, even if I could stand, well, just within the gates or just within the doors of that temple and perform even the common labor of a porter of the doors, just so I can be in the temple. That's what David is expressing here, his desire, you see. Now, all of that directs our attention to something, of course, much deeper than merely a desire to be in a building. The temple was the place of Old Testament worship, and as such, it was a figure of fellowship with God. In reality, therefore, what you and I must see in our text is this. Our chief desire must be that of fellowship with the ever-blessed God. That was David's chief desire, after all. My soul longs and thirsts for the living God. That was his chief desire. And from that point of view, that's the significance also of our sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We enter into communion, don't we, with the living God and enjoy his presence and his great love and his mercy towards us as we gather about his table. Neither does the whole idea of Christ and his shed blood stand outside of the figure that we find here in the Word of God we consider. The term for courts here in our text makes reference really to the Holy of Holies, to be a doorkeeper by the Holy of Holies. That one room of the temple where God dwelt. That's where his presence was. Consider that once. The heart of the nation of Israel was Jerusalem. The heart of Jerusalem was the temple. The heart of the temple was the Holy of Holies. The heart of the Holy of Holies was that mercy seat sitting there on the Ark of the Covenant where God himself took his abode. The heart of the mercy seat. Well, people of God, it was the blood of the Lamb that was sprinkled upon that mercy seat once a year on the Day of Atonement and only by the high priest. God dwelt in the Holy of Holies on the mercy seat, and exactly because he himself is a God of mercy. And that for Christ's sake, whose blood is shed as a covering or an atonement for our sins. So we bear that in mind also in this week to come. Our God is, in fact, a God of mercy, and that's the only reason that we can share in his communion and fellowship. He looks down from heaven, from his throne on high, and he pities you and me. Now, that doesn't sound very good. We don't like it when people pity us. Well, that's what God's mercy is all about. He pities us when he sees us in our sin and in our misery. Doesn't pity everybody. He pities his people when he sees them lost yet, or not lost, stumbling yet in their sin and in their misery. And in his mercy, or in his pity for them, he reaches down his almighty arm and he delivers us out of that misery and that sin. That's God's mercy. Not only his pity, but the fact that God in that pity reaches forth his hand and he takes us out of our sin and out of our misery. He forgives us. And having forgiven us, he blesses us with his favor and fellowship. Not, mind you, because we deserved it. God gives to you and me his fellowship and his love only on the grounds of his mercy. But that mercy of God is possible only on the basis of the blood sprinkled upon the mercy seat. God's fellowship is possible only on the basis of God's mercy that rests in the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. At the cross, we are told, righteousness and mercy are met, because there it was that Christ paid the ultimate price for our sins and bore the eternal weight of God's wrath against sin. By doing so, God satisfied his justice. He made us righteous. And all of that because God chose to be merciful to us for the sake of Jesus Christ. So our text tonight, and this fellowship with God that is the desire of every believer, our text tonight is wrapped up, you see, in the very cross of Jesus Christ. Fellowship with the ever-blessed God is wrapped up in the blood of Christ shed for you and me. And the figure of a doorkeeper also fits in with this whole idea of fellowship with God too. Ultimately, you understand, our fellowship with God is fulfilled in its highest degree in heaven. That's the house of God. That's the place where God lives, where he dwells. And that's where he will dwell with you and me in perfect fellowship. And just as it is our desire here on earth to dwell in fellowship with God, the chief desire of the child of God is to enter into those courts of God, that house of God, that dwelling place of God in heaven, and dwell in perfect fellowship with him. And one day in heaven, for you and me, it's better than 1,000 days on this earth. That's what our text points to when it makes reference to that. And that is where the figure of a doorkeeper fits in too. The child of God desires to be a doorkeeper in heaven. We desire nothing more, do we? I don't desire to have this prominent place in heaven. Just so I'm there. I don't have to sit on a seat of honor. I know that there are others who will. But I don't have to. Just so that I'm a doorkeeper in heaven. Just to be inside the gates of heaven. To behold my God, and to fellowship with him there. In fact, when I see my sin, and I do, when I examine my own heart, I don't have to look at anybody else, I look at my own sin. And when I see my own sin, I know that I am not worthy of anything more than being a doorkeeper in the house of God. Nothing more. The figure is complete. Heaven is God's house. There he dwells with his people for Christ's sake. and there his people long to be. Their desire is to dwell, even if it's but as a doorkeeper, in that heavenly glory, the house of our God. It is really this desire of the child of God that stands on the foreground in the passage we consider tonight. That desire of David, it's on the foreground. The whole psalm really expresses this one desire of David. One day in the courts of the Lord are better than 1,000 days here below, David exclaims. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Notice the contrast that David is drawing here in the various phrases of the verse we consider. One day in God's courts is better than 1,000 days elsewhere. One day in God's courts contrasted with 1,000 days elsewhere, outside of God's courts. A lowly place in God's house rather than dwelling in a life of wickedness. A day in a lowly position in God's house better than dwelling in a life of wickedness. One cannot help but see the Hebrew parallelism that's found here in this verse. The two phrases of our text explain one another, and they explain the contrast, you see, that David makes. One day in God's house, even if it be only as a doorkeeper there, is better than 1,000 days outside of that house of God, dwelling with those who live in the way of wickedness. One day with God, sharing his fellowship and favor, is better than 1,000 days outside of the fellowship of God and sharing in fellowship with the wicked of this world. That's the meaning of our text. And that's our longing as God's children too, especially now as we are to examine ourselves in this week to come. It is not as if this is only David's desire, people of God. It's our desire too. He only puts into words what you and I, as believers today, desire. The desire of every child of God. You see, wickedness or unrighteousness, walking in the path of disobedience to God and disobedience to his commandments, that's wickedness. Wickedness is ingrained in our flesh, in our own human flesh. It's appealing to our flesh. And we can begin to think that there is joy somehow in walking contrary to the Word of God. In fact, our flesh is drawn so often into those ways that are contrary to God's good Word and His commandments. Our flesh is drawn to that. But when we walk in the way of sin and disobedience, we also realize, don't we, and we experience that, that we are alienated from God, and we become strangers to Him. And we certainly are not walking in fellowship with Him when we walk in the ways of wickedness. We don't experience His great love and the joy and peace that comes with it. We cannot when we walk in the way of disobedience. God does not dwell with those who love and work iniquity. Sometimes we can drift along for a while in that sin too, as David did. And we can make excuses for ourselves. We can go on living apart from God at times in life. And sometimes that can go on even for for some time. There's a spiritual drought that can take place in the life of the child of God. 1,000 days, David says, and he's not referring here to a literal, obviously, a literal 1,000 days, but he speaks of a period of time that can be long, but even a period of time that can be somewhat shorter in the life of the child of God when they walk in the way of sin. And during that time, they experience nothing more than spiritual drought. They live in disobedience. They live in violation of God's commandments. Who among us here tonight is able to say that that's never happened to them? That there haven't been times in life of a spiritual drought when we're not so zealous for the cause of Jesus Christ in this world. Our flesh is that way, you know. But then, there's no communion with God. There's no dwelling in the courts of the Lord. No real joy to life either, is there? We know that. There's no real joy to our life then. We can have that as adults. We can have that as young people as well, too. We walk in the ways of disobedience to God. And when seeking our entertainment or pleasure in life, we would rather look to the ways of this present world for our joy in life rather than looking to God, a chief desire in life to dwell with Him. When seeking our entertainment and pleasure, when making friends, oftentimes that can be the case. We make friends with ungodly people, people of this world. And we look to the world for finding our own enjoyment and pleasure. We think that fun, right, young people? We think that fun is found in the entertainment of this world, as wicked as that entertainment might be. That's fun. As people of God, we can follow the world in their lifestyles, in their goals, and in their earthly desires. Yet, when we walk in that way, then we start to find that we're not really very happy people. Somehow, there's just not this inner joy that belongs to us when we're doing that. Well, we know we're displeasing to God when we walk in that way. And who likes discontentment in life and restlessness? Not caused by others. Don't blame our own restlessness and discontentment on others. It's right here. Then let's make a comparison. What would you rather have in life? Really, what would we rather have in life? Compare the way of wickedness with the ways of God, the good ways of God. Compare dwelling in the tents of wickedness, in sin and unbelief. Compare that in contrast with living in blessed fellowship with God, the God of heaven and earth. And then when we start to make that comparison, the Spirit begins to work in our hearts, because after all, we are God's children. That Spirit begins to work in our hearts, and we begin to ask the question, well, what is better for me in my life? Which is better to me? To dwell in the courts of the Lord or in the tents of wickedness? Which one? You know, David probably took this privilege for granted when all was going well for him, that he could dwell in the courts of the Lord there in the temple and worship God, the beauty of holiness. But when he was driven from Jerusalem and when he was driven from the house of God, That was a horrible experience for David. He couldn't fellowship with God in his own house. The privileges of worship were taken away from him. That's why he could now say in our text tonight, one day in the courts of the Lord is better than 1,000 days outside of those courts, and especially living in the tents of wickedness. When I compare the one over against the other, that spirit that dwells within my heart makes me long for fellowship with God. That's what happens in a child of God when the Spirit works within his heart. He doesn't desire to walk in the ways of wickedness, and when he does, he's not happy there. He would much rather dwell with God. Right here, in the house of God, where we're dwelling tonight, we hear about our sin, don't we? But then we also hear about our salvation in Jesus Christ. Here in the house of God, yeah, our sins are exposed, but then also the balm of salvation is spread on those wounds that sin oftentimes leaves behind. Here we experience on earth, as in no other place, fellowship with Jesus Christ and with God himself. Here in the Church of Jesus Christ, beloved saints, the words of Psalm 27, verses 4 and 5, live in the hearts of those who are God's people. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. We together experience this, don't we, in the house of God. And we experience that together too as we come to the table of the Lord together next week, the Lord willing. That's why we come to church. That's why we sit under the preaching. That's why we sing. That's why we pray. That's why we give to the cause of God's kingdom. We love to worship our Father, because in worshiping him, we get a foretaste here in this place of the fellowship that we're going to share with God in heaven. Truly, every child of God has the desire of the psalmist to come to God's house and worship. Let me say that again. Every believer has the same desire of the psalmist to be in God's house to worship him. If we do not enjoy being in church and in God's house, we will not enjoy the house of God in heaven either. If our activities here on the Lord's Day seem to us boring and unnecessary, if our heart longs to be somewhere else instead of right here in God's house, well, we will not like heaven very much. And we might as well not long for God's fellowship there either. We don't long for his fellowship here in the house of God. We might as well not long for fellowship in heaven either. The psalmist says this, I would rather spend one day in God's house in fellowship with him than 1,000 days enjoying the sin of this present world. This is where I'd rather be. Can you believe that? He would rather spend time in God's house than to go to a hockey game and watch the Penguins play for a whole season. I'd rather spend it right here in God's house. He would rather sit for a day in God's house than to enjoy himself by watching all of the popular movies of our day, or to go to some theme park and enjoy himself there all day long. He'd rather be in the house of God than those things. Can you believe it? A day in the courts of the Lord is better than a thousand days of fun and earthly pleasure. One day in God's house. Is that true of us? And can we truly say what David says here? Is what we have at God's house really better than all of that? Jehovah, the God who never slumbers and never sleeps, but watches over us at all times and cares for us in his great love. He guards us from our foes, and he doesn't cause us to fall, even though we might stumble. He upholds those who are weak. He's here. That God is here. God who is our sun and our shield, who gives grace and glory, who withholds from you and me no good thing. This is his house. This is where he dwells. And it is here that really we receive joy and peace to our souls. Nothing else in this world, especially not the sin of this world, can give you and me that. Examine your hearts this week, people of God. What's your desire? And then come to the table of the Lord, hungering and thirsting after the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship that is ours through Christ. In that blood of Jesus Christ and in that fellowship of God, we find the blessing of God's house. Read 4 and 5 now of the psalm before us. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Blessed, happy is that man who dwells in the house of God. We are blessed here because, after all, it is here that we find the fulfillment of our godly desires to dwell with God forever. We're blessed under the preaching, aren't we? We're blessed under the sacraments. And that blessing is ours forevermore. Tents of wickedness, you won't find it. You won't find that blessing. Only misery and grief. But in the presence of God, when we walk together in his ways and his precepts, and when we learn to trust in him, there's blessedness in that. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord, beloved saints. Lean on him, live with him, desire to dwell with him, and he'll give joy unto our souls. Amen. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, how far short we fall in desiring the things of thy kingdom, because we, especially who live in a world of prosperity, where money can buy us all of the pleasures and the treasures of this world, we can so easily be drawn away from what must be our chief desire. And oftentimes we do stumble and we do fall. We're sorry. We pray that thou wilt forgive us too when our chief desire is not thee, our God, in thy house. But give unto us also now a taste of what it is to dwell with thee, and the communion that we share together with thee, so that when we come about thy table next week, then we can experience there the blessed fellowship and communion of thee, our God, and of thy Son. Wilt thou use thy word, therefore, to guide us and to direct us in this life, and that which truly is of the essence. We pray these things for Jesus' sake.